This is Day to Day. I'm Deborah Amos. We don't often hear much about Zimbabwe, but conditions in this southern African country are dire. There's hardly any fuel, and people there often have to scrounge for a loaf of bread. Many blame longtime President Robert Mugabe for the economic crisis, but few dare say that publicly. In the city of Bulawayo, a group of women is challenging the government at great risk and at great cost. The group calls itself WOZA, Women of Zimbabwe Arise. Its leader invited a young reporter, whom we'll identify later, along for quite a ride.
We are going to Safe House, where we live and work.
I am being driven very quickly through some quiet suburbs in one of the largest cities in Zimbabwe.
Have to make sure we don't get followed whenever we go there.
I'm in the back seat, and the two women with me look as nervous as I feel.
Our mandate is street protest in Zimbabwe to hold the government accountable. And this is a government that does not respect a mother's right to call for a better Zimbabwe. And when we go in the street doing that, they get a little bit peeved at us.
The driver is Jenny Williams, and she belongs to a women's rights group called WOZA, standing for Women of Zimbabwe Arise.
Quite a few people know my face, and most people know the kind of work I do.
She has been beaten and arrested more than 20 times by Zimbabwean police for protesting in the streets. Now she is a wanted woman.
It's the most asked question of any of our members who are in custody. Where does Jenny live?
Jenny has been sleeping in safe houses like this for over a year. The movement she and other Zimbabwean women formed to protect their rights has become an international inspiration and a thorn in the Zimbabwe government's side.
Most of our members feel that if they're going to be dying, can they not die silently?
Days later, I get a call. The WOZA women will march in the center of town. My driver and I dress for jail. We dress warmly with many layers of clothing because it's winter here and jail is cold. We reach the spot where the protesters told us they would meet and wait. We are early, but all we see is ordinary people going about their business. Suddenly, seemingly out of nowhere, the crowd of ordinary pedestrians quickly assemble. More come out of shops and cars. Now they're holding banners and posters and shouting. I spot Jenny Williams in the front, leading the chant. All of a sudden, the crowd scatters. Through the ducking, scurrying women, I see a single Zimbabwean policeman flailing his baton wildly. He strikes at anything that moves.
Okay, there's cops coming to back.
More police arrive, outfitted in full riot attire. The sun is beating down and sweat or tears are clouding my vision. The loud smacking noises of iron on soft skin and rubber on skulls is a sound I will never forget. I am so engrossed and appalled at the sight that I do not see the truck full of riot police barreling down on me. Like a swarm of angry wasps, they screech to a halt and pile out. One grabs me by my jacket, the other yanks the equipment out of my hands. They start beating. After a couple of whacks, the commander looks at me in fury and demands to know why I was taking pictures. When I don't answer, another grabs me by my hair and smashes the back of my head with his baton. One slaps me and calls me stupid. Then I am thrown on the back of their truck. They all sit around me as we drive off. They take me back to the police station. After some negotiating by my driver, who followed us the whole way, they release me, but not my equipment. Perhaps they thought I was a tourist. Maybe they thought I was a foreigner. I have no idea. I just know that I am very, very lucky. The other women were not so lucky. Several have been arrested, including Jenny Williams, and over 20 have been hospitalized. One is in critical condition.
And we are there is.
2 days later, the prisoners are released from jail, and we meet to talk to one outside a doctor's office. She can hardly talk from the beating she received in police custody. We arrived at the police station, she says. I sat down. When I sat down, some other police officers came. There were two of them. They came and beat me. They beat me on my back and shoulders. She says she was beaten repeatedly by more than one policeman. Her eyes are brimming with tears, and her hands are shaking with fear. Our lives are tough, she says. We are struggling to survive. That's why the women take to the streets, because we are not being looked after.
Next time, are you going to march again?
I'm going to march.
Yes, I will march again, she says. It's the answer they give every time.
That report from a young journalist will call Lee at her request because of the law strictly forbidding such reporting in Zimbabwe. Earlier this week, I spoke to Lee and asked if she still had bruises from her run-in with Zimbabwe security police.
No, the bruising wasn't actually evident because they are very clever. They beat you on your head. So my hairline covered up any bruises that I may have had, but I definitely had a headache for a couple of days.
You describe a situation where there is no food. Are people dying from these conditions, or is it just a daily struggle? Is that an overstatement?
People are dying, Deborah. We have the lowest life expectancy in the world, and combine that with a massive AIDS epidemic. I spoke with a member of parliament who represents the opposition political party in Zimbabwe, David Coltart, and he told me that one can only get a true sense of this when you visit the local cemeteries, which are literally running out of room.
When you go to cemeteries, they look like the Battle of the Somme. Acres and acres of mounds of earth, freshly dug, freshly filled, containing the bodies of thousands of Zimbabweans who are falling off the edge of our society.
Deborah, it feels like Zimbabwe is on a precipice.
Is WOZA, Women of Zimbabwe Arise, are they still operating after so many of them were roughed up?
They are the most fearless women you could ever meet. They are definitely still alive and well and ready to take to the streets at a moment's notice. They are incredibly brave.
Thank you very much, Lee. Speaking to us from Bulawayo, Zimbabwe.
Thank you, Deborah.
Once again, we used only Lee's middle name because of the threat of arrest in Zimbabwe for her report.